You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. There are 17,000 children here in Idaho who live in areas of high poverty. This is according to new numbers from the Annie E. Casey Foundation's latest survey. Those numbers are pulled from the Census Bureau. Advocacy groups say that needs to change, as children who grow up in high poverty areas are more likely to face challenges as children and then as adults. But the number has actually gone down in recent years. Just slightly. Joining me to talk more about this is Alejandra Cierna-Rijos with Idaho Voices for Children. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, tell us how the data is collected and what data set from the Census Bureau is used.
We are using estimates from the Census Bureau that pool a set of numbers from periods of 5 years so that we can get a really good, reliable estimate of the number of kids who are living in concentrated poverty. And so you can think about it as comparing today with about 5 years ago.
Okay, so it's just the within the last 5 years then?
Yes.
So why are high poverty areas just such a concern?
So where we live shapes our lives forever. Children do better when they grow up in neighborhoods that have good, safe, affordable houses, where their parents can get good jobs that are located nearby, where they can go to school that meets their needs, and they can have access to grocery stores, health clinics, and so forth. So we know that strong neighborhoods foster stable and healthy families that strengthen the state as a whole.
So when we talk about high poverty areas, does that automatically mean that every child that lives in that area is living in poverty?
No. Concentrated poverty refers to a neighborhood where 30% or more of the population is living in poverty. So poverty on its own holds many risks for children. Financial instability produces this level of toxic stress among kids that literally affects the development of their brain architecture, which is the foundation for lifelong learning. And, you know, at 15%, the figure remains concerning of children living in poverty. Now, concentrated poverty is one of the greatest risks to child development. So in addition to living in poverty, being in an economically distressed neighborhood makes it less likely for kids to have those opportunities of schools and jobs and so forth.
And so because of that, when they experience this in childhood, it would just make sense that these issues, for many of them, carry into adulthood.
Yes. So we see some undesirable outcomes for kids when they grow up, having lived in concentrated poverty. And that should be concerning because we, you know, as a state, we want to make progress on student achievement. We want to make sure that kids grow up and are able to get college or some kind of post-secondary and then to hold really good quality jobs.
So tell us about the trends that you've seen with these numbers actually over the years.
So, there hasn't always been this level of concentrated poverty around. Around 2000, when we started tracking this figure, it was closer to about 1% of kids living in concentrated poverty. And now that has, you know, risen
and
to
that's
about
in
5%.
Idaho.
Yeah, it's okay. In Idaho. It affects lots of different types of communities as well. So, for example, in Idaho cities is where we've seen the largest jump from about 1 to 7% of kids now living in concentrated poverty. A similar story with rural communities in Idaho. That number has gone up a bit. The areas that, you know, are not as concerning are suburban areas, which haven't seen a dramatic shift.
And is that the reason why we've seen a little bit of a drop in that number recently?
I would say on the whole that the numbers aren't significantly different.
Okay.
So from about 5 years ago, 4% to today, 5%. I think that the trend so kind of holds. So, you know, we haven't moved lower and we haven't moved higher. I think the reason why that is concerning now is because Idaho's economy has really picked up since the recession. So why aren't we seeing those numbers change when you know, our economy is growing, people have access to jobs, that just hasn't really lifted up families and communities.
But would it potentially, could you argue that part of that could be, even though, yes, our economy has gotten better, yes, there are more jobs, our housing has gotten exponentially higher?
Yes.
So I mean, it's a double-edged sword, right? Yes, you can get a job. Yes, you can make an income. But everyone can say that whether you were paying rent, even if you were paying rent 5 years ago, it sure is a lot more today than it was 5 years ago.
That's right. So housing and affordable homes are an area where you know, states, local government, communities can actually make progress in this figure of kids in concentrated poverty. Like I said, we know that where a kid grows up is going to impact their life. So ensuring that homes are affordable to families is one big key piece of that. So there are, you know, folks in Congress come together and they decide how best to support affordability through, you know, communities throughout the United States. So, for example, you know, I think we do best when we help families continue to remain in their neighborhoods and not be impacted by eviction or by, you know, having to move further from, you know, the community they call home just to get a better job.
We're speaking with Alejandra Cerna-Rijos with Idaho Voices for Children, talking about the poverty rates that we see here in our state regarding children. Does race or any other factors seem to impact the numbers or really the locations of high poverty here in Idaho?
Yes. So race and ethnicity play a really important role in determining outcomes for kids. We know that Latinx children, Black children, Native American children are more likely to live in poverty and in concentrated poverty. So, you know, that's just the result of a legacy of racial discrimination. So, for example, segregation or redlining, which was a practice of excluding homeowners based on their race or ethnicity from certain areas. And present day discrimination, for example, you know, being told if you're a family or being ignored if you're a family of color applying for a rental unit. Discrimination like that that takes place today can place even more barriers for families of color.
So we talked about Idaho's, you know, housing shortage and the lack of affordable housing as being one of the main factors. What would you say are other, you know, factors that people need to be aware of that play into why we have such high numbers?
Well, there's certainly much more to be done around the area of housing. So in Boise and other cities, you know, we're seeing the prices of homes go up, the prices of rent going up. But, you know, that has to do with development practices and sort of what we do around building and preserving affordable homes as well. So rezoning, for example, from single family homes to allow multifamily developments to go up can increase the supply of housing. You know, promoting inclusive practices of development in, you know, in across all different types of neighborhoods in a city can also support that.
In your opinion, what needs to change in order for us to see less children in our state living in concentrated poverty?
We've got to certainly do better on housing opportunities and making sure that you know, people aren't forced to move to areas of concentrated poverty, and for families that do live in areas of concentrated poverty, that we remove the barriers that so that they can be able to you know, join communities that have a lot of opportunities for kids and for their families on the whole.
Well, and what's interesting with that is you think of simple things, and we've talked about this before, even on our program, are things like building sidewalks, right, where kids live, or sidewalks to school so that they have better access. I mean, this seems basic, but it does make a difference, yes?
I would say transportation is, again, one of those areas that can certainly provide more access and opportunity for families. So, you know, we see a lot of families moving further out to communities that are more affordable, where they can afford to buy a home or rent a home. But do we have the things in place to ensure that they can easily travel to the city, you know, to earn a good wage and then go back at the end of the day without having to put in 2 or 3 hours of commuting time. Those things are really important, too.
I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking about this and putting a light on this. We've been talking with Alejandra Cerna-Rijos with Idaho Voices for Children, talking about the poverty numbers for children who live here in Idaho. 17,000 children in Idaho living in areas of high poverty. currently and what we need to do to hopefully change that. Thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you very much.
Up next, we'll learn about a comedy hour for ex-Mormons. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.